This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/sbfvgs. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 124. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Polymath, Lopez.
Polymath.
I'm not a smart person.
Adam, you need to explain this to me.
Well, I'm not a smart man. Because polymath means you're very knowledgeable in many fields.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, that's true.
What an embarrassing mistake.
Field number one, definitions of things.
And that other voice you're hearing is David, back to the grindstone, Tate.
Yeah, my beach vacation's over, but
it's all over.
I'm working again, which is always a good thing. It means that people want me at their studio, and that's, you know, I can't complain about
that's,
it. So
that's for sure good to have money.
It's for sure good to be making money. That is.
Yeah, money's like pretty great.
Yeah, money's I've heard it makes the world go round.
Oh, my.
Something like that.
The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast comes to you every fortnight, with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first,
thank you for that lovely. You for that lovely introduction, Adam. Justice League shirt wearing Redding.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, now I have to look at the shirt.
There it is. Anyway, yeah. So you asked what we've been playing at.
What are you playing at?
Very few things still. A lot of Minecraft, because that was all I could play on my Switch.
That's right.
And then also on my MacBook Pro, I've been playing a little Fortnite, because they added a really fun Horde Rush mode, which is basically totally PvE. You have four people on your team, and then you just are fighting a horde of like zombie guys. And it's fun. It's really fun. I played it with my nephew and my nieces, and we just like what it does is it puts you into a map. You jump down really fast, and it spawns a wave of zombies, and then you have to move. Then it starts moving the circle around the map. Like there's just a little zone that's safe, and you move the circle moves around the map, and you have to stay in it, and it spawns zombies at you, and the zombies start dropping better and better guns, and it's fun. It's just fun. It's just a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just fun. Yeah.
And it's just fun. And that's it, actually. I've been getting through what I've been playing at really quickly lately, because I just...
Well, yeah, because you've been on vacation. Yeah.
So anyway, that's it for me.
Cool.
Sweet. What about you, Mike?
So I got two games.
All right.
And one of them, not a video game.
Oh.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh.
Would you expect
a game of board?
Yeah,
a
were you expecting that?
Board, you say?
You weren't. Shadows in the Forest. Have you guys heard about this game?
Nope. I have not.
Okay. I hadn't either. I got it for Father's Day. It's kind of like a board game version of hide and seek. I guess is the best way to explain it. So super quick overview of it is one person plays as the seeker, and then up to, you know, I think six other players can be hiding in the forest. You set up a bunch of like little trees and rocks and things on the board, and then all the lights go out. Hmm. You got to play this game in the dark.
What? In real life?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
the room
spooky,
has to be
Mike.
Super dark.
I don't like it.
The seeker's little token on the board that has to follow the little path is a little LED lantern you turn on.
Oh.
And so the idea is, if I'm being the seeker, I roll my die and I go X number of paces with my lit lantern. And if I can see one of your, you know, little hidden guys, then they're frozen and they're caught and I have to try to go catch everyone. But when my turn is over, I have to shut my eyes and everyone can either stay in their hiding spaces or move spaces, but not... They can't cross the light ever.
Okay.
So that's why the game has to be dark, so that whenever you move that lantern, it's constantly shifting.
So it's casting
real shadows in the game.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
It's super cool. When this episode comes out, I'll post like some cool pictures and stuff of it. But it's a really cool little game. I like it. So my family cool. and I have been playing that.
That actually looks pretty fun. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, are you looking at it? Yeah, it's
I'm
super
not
cool.
usually super into board games, but that one.
Did we already
seems
hit the part of the show where we Google things?
I already Googled things. I put a picture did. Of it.
Part of the show where we Google things.
Ooh, beautiful.
All right.
If you were watching this stream, by the way, on twitch.tv/sbfegs, you could have seen a picture of the board game because I put it up really quick. I Googled it. And
look at that. Yeah,
for everyone else, I'll put pictures out when the audio-only episode airs. So that's a pretty cool game. If you guys are into board games, I'd recommend checking that out. It's a pretty cool game for 2 to 7 players. The other game that I've been playing a ton of is Divinity 2 or Divinity Original Sin 2. This is Larian Studios.
Well, but this is like the second Sin.
This is
now.
The second one. This is like 2017.
It should be called Unoriginal Sin. I'm just
well,
saying.
Yeah, maybe. So I played the first one on PS4, loved it. I'm playing the second one on my MacBook. Man, it's such a good game. I'm like 20 something hours into it, and I think I just left the first town.
So it's pretty monstrous.
It's monstrous, and not that it's necessarily massive, but that there's just so much content packed into like every inch of this game.
Remember when I mentioned like a year ago that I was playing this game?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. And you didn't like it.
Yeah, well, I liked it until I realized how I'll never beat it. And then I didn't like it anymore. Like,
so
it
was your
just
3 situation?
Really hard. I got to a frog that I couldn't beat. And then I was like, you know what? I give up. I can't beat this frog.
It's like you're this super BA warrior with like all this armor and stuff. And like this frog's taking it to you.
For sure. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah, like jokes aside, like combat in that game is no joke. Like every encounter is pretty tough. It's nerdy as hell. It's probably the closest you can get to like playing D&D without actually playing a pen and paper D&D game. Mm-hmm. And these guys, we'll talk about this later during the E3 show, but these guys are making Baldur's Gate 3. Whenever that game comes out. So in preparation for that, that cool game, I'm going to play this cool game.
Well, hopefully there are no incredibly difficult frogs in Baldur's Gate 3. That's all I'm saying.
Gosh, you know what? There's probably going to be.
It's like a huge frog lord you have to fight.
Yeah. It's basically the end. Remember the frog guy at the end of Mario 2? Same thing.
I sure do. You mean Wart? Is that his name? Wart?
I couldn't. Yeah. King Wart?
King Wart?
What? I don't know, man. Like, it's been a long time.
I think it is. It is King Wart. Yeah. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we Googled things
sometimes
again.
Sometimes I call my son Wart when I need him to do chores. Wart! Get in here!
Sword
in the Stone
Sword
action.
The Stone.
Over here.
Underappreciated movie, I think.
It was that kind of slump era, but yeah. I like it.
Adam, what
but
are you
anyway.
Playing?
So, I played a ton of Pokemon Go, and I know that sounds crazy because I'm not a Pokephile. I don't know.
Wait, hold on.
I don't know if that's a real term, but I'm
not
saying
sure
it.
That's what that means, what you want it to mean. Just
it means I love pockets, I think. I don't love pockets apparently, but I've been playing
just the monsters that live in them.
Just the monsters. Yeah, so I've been poking some mons, you know what I'm saying? You know,
for sure,
whatever I can toss a ball at, you know.
Yeah.
It's been good. So weird. I've been leveling up.
Yeah.
We convinced some people who hadn't played in like 2 years to get back in. So
yeah. You roped me back into it.
I roped Mike back in.
Really?
My buddy John, who's been on the show, who's Burrito Marvin. There's definitely a lot there still. They've changed the game's changed a lot. So and I didn't really play it until recently. So
sure, you don't even really know.
Yeah, who knows? But anyway, yeah, so played a bunch of Pokemon Go. Little Nightmares. I'm all Pokemon.
You're all the monsters now.
Pokemon mode. Little Nightmares.
Little pocket monsters.
I started Little Nightmares right after the last podcast came out, and played about half of that game. That game is amazing. It's very much, like, if you're a fan of Inside or Limbo, it's kind of like that, but probably skewing a little bit more horror-ish.
Okay. I sense like a little bit of like a Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas vibe. Is that, am I crazy?
It doesn't remind me of that really. Okay. It's a little creepier than that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. because it's another Swedish studio, because like Playdead is Swedish. These guys are also from Malmo in Sweden. So yeah, it's pretty wild. It's very well made, very scary, tense, but like in a whimsical way. Like it's not like you're terrified here, but like playing Resident Evil 7 or something, and like in VR, and there's like a knife in your face,
and
like,
grandma's not like just that teleporting kind of, all around. While
yeah,
you look
it's
away.
Not like teleporting grandma or anything, but it's like it's definitely really creepy. So good times. Check out Little Nightmares if you haven't already. Also played some Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes at my birthday party here.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a good time. Sorry, David, I didn't invite you.
Yeah, I didn't. Where was that invite? It must have gotten lost in the mail.
I mean, you know, it probably went to New York and you weren't there. So
that's what happened.
I bet
that's fair.
Yeah, David, it was a little too far of a drive, I think, for you
little
to come
bit,
up.
A little bit. I could have tried to fly, maybe, but
yeah. But yeah, so we played some Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes, some Jackbox Party Pack. It was a good evening. Good evening of
so one of these days I'll get out there for your birthday. That's my promise.
Yeah.
To you and to the listeners.
It was a night of good-natured frivolity, and I think we had a good time.
Were there libations? So.
Libations galore.
You guys went and saw a movie?
Oh.
I think that's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did see a movie. We saw Dark Phoenix, which is not great, but not as bad as I was expecting. So it was kind of fell in the middle there. Was like pleasantly surprised.
For sure, yeah.
But also not impressed.
Well, yeah, if you have low expectations, like every movie's going to be a little bit better than you expected,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's how I feel about Dark Phoenix. I'm like, there's no way that this movie's good. So then if I go see it and it's even a little bit good, then it surpassed my expectations.
For sure. Yeah.
It's a little life hack.
Yeah. And and by the time you hear this, I will be probably, I don't know, a little ways into Blood and Truth.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
I have that game burning a hole in my pocket here,
man.
And I have not had time to start it because it's been insane.
I keep
this
forgetting
week.
It's out. I need to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out and I have it and I'm very excited. So, yeah, that's it. That's it for me.
That's it for
what
you.
What about you guys? Are you guys about ready for the news?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Right. Let's do this.
All right. Remember, you can submit news stories for discussion on the show at our subreddit, sbfvgs.reddit.com. Just like Top Newsman. Let's see. Top Newsman Ultima Kills. Look at
these news stories that I definitely read ahead of time.
Oh, actually, you know what? I learned my lesson last time. I actually read the news story, so you guys are in for a treat. So this one came in. Actually, this news hit right after we recorded the last episode.
Of course.
Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, coming to Nintendo Switch.
Oh, man. That's
so
the port,
that is
right?
Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that one is a direct port of the PS3 version. It's 720p, 30 frames a second. And then there's also confirmed now at E3 a remaster of the game. So that's 1080p, 60 frames a second version of
that'll
Nintendo,
be on PS4 and Xbox
and that'll
and
be
stuff.
PC and PS4 is
oh,
what
okay,
I read.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so,
cool.
Pretty excellent. That's definitely, I'm so tempted to pick that up again on Switch.
I'll probably buy it on the Switch and try to beat it. Here's the thing. I've never played Ni No Kuni 1. I own Ni No Kuni 2, and I've never even installed it.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Ni No Kuni, the original Ni No Kuni, is basically like a Pokemon game with a really great story and animation by Studio Ghibli.
I mean,
so,
that sounds amazing. I just need to play it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So there you have
it.
There you have it.
I will buy it again, and hopefully this time I'll play it.
Yeah, it's coming in September. I think September 20th.
Cool.
So, times. So, let's see. We're going to skip over a couple here. Final Fantasy Remake launches March 3rd, 2020.
Pretty exciting. They did announce it's just the Midgar section, like people were
expecting.
We're
getting into topic stuff. So
a little bit.
Right. We'll get more into that, I think, during the E3 festivities here.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. All right. So, this is kind of crazy. Final Fantasy VIII is also getting a remaster.
No one saw that one
sure
coming.
Sure is.
I mentioned this on Twitter to Gameskeeper Mike. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I don't really have any attachment to this game. I bought it right after Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, you're like hot on the heels, like super pumped to play it. I remember
that. I was so jazzed. And I played like the first 8-10 hours of it, and I was like, I think I'm out.
Exactly the same window for me too. I feel like at 10 hours I really gave it a shot, but I was like,
oh man, I just remember loving. Doesn't he have a gigantic sword? The main guy.
Or no, you're thinking of Final Fantasy VII.
No.
It's like a gun sword.
That's it. Yeah, that's but it's big, right? No, is it not big?
Big fat gun blade.
I think it's that big.
Huh.
It's pretty big.
Anyway, I remember loving the way it looked, and just like watching the opening cutscene a couple times. And I think I bought it on PC. I watched the opening cutscene a couple times and played like the first battle, and then was like, I'll get to this later. And never.
And then 20 years later,
it's nice to know that this trend has always been
it's
there.
It's just the way I've always been, guys. I buy games with the best intentions, and unless they're Metal Gear Solid or Zelda Ocarina of Time, I just don't beat them or even play them ever again.
You're just here to support the developers.
I do like to do that part.
A patron of the arts, they call them.
That's me.
Yeah, so again, with Top Newsman, man, he was knocking it out of the park this Fortnite. The sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is now in development for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool. And
that's I'm pretty excited. I got to beat the first one.
Coming when exactly, though? Like 2022?
In development.
It's in development. I don't believe they've given us a release window.
Let's just speculate a little bit. Let's speculate. Like,
realistically
do you think they could possibly have a Breath of the Wild 2? Considering it's probably the same engine, it's probably like I don't know. Is it going to be longer than Breath of the Wild 1? Like, how big do we think they're going to get with this?
I don't think we know enough about it yet.
Yeah, who knows? They have confirmed that they're going to use the same Hyrule from Breath of the Wild 1.
So that's like Majora's Mask
style. Probably just change some stuff. Yeah.
So that game came out like 2 years after Ocarina of Time.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
But isn't it 2 years after Breath of the Wild already? Also, I said Breath of the Wild.
Oh, God.
I think it's going to come out next fall. That's my guess. I'm just guessing
That's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So this is a cool one. This comes by way of Miss Maya.
Okay.
Friend of the show.
Oh, that makes her a top newsman now.
Is she?
Well, I believe so. Now that we're talking about something she posted.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Miss Maya, top newsman.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing has been delayed to avoid crunch time on developers.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's really cool to start seeing this trend. We've talked about it many times on the show, like how soul-crushing crunch, you know, is pretty common in the industry.
Soul-crunching.
People working like, you know, 14 hours a day for months and months on end to hit this deadline. And it's just not healthy for anyone's families and all that stuff. So that's really cool to see Nintendo kind of taking, I mean, because Nintendo is a family-friendly company. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see them actually prioritizing their workers' families.
For sure. And I don't know if you've ever played an Animal Crossing game, but it's the most relaxing, soothing, like, this is the game I play when I want to unwind and chill out. And it would just be so depressing if I knew that all of the developers crunched 80-hour work weeks for months on end to make this game that I use to relax. You know, like, is that what?
I'm relaxing on the backs of their miserable toil for months and months.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be very sad. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right. So this was an interesting tidbit came out of Mr. Phil Spencer's mouth. He stated E3 is not as good without Sony.
I would agree too.
Kinda. I mean I enjoyed Microsoft's press conference a whole lot more because of it, because they had all the third party games that weren't going to be at Sony's like presentation.
Fair enough.
We'll definitely be talking about that during the topic, but they showed something like 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it was a lot. It was really good. And their conference last year was really, really good too.
That's true. Well, that's also because Sony didn't show a whole lot of third party games at their conference last year either. So,
yeah.
So there you go.
So David, what do you think of this one?
Well, okay.
Last news story of the evening. Destiny 2 player count is back over 1 million daily.
Sounds like they got that Destiny 2 hype rolling with that Stadia announcement, the new expansion in the fall, the base game going free to play in the fall, cross saves. Like, everyone, I stopped playing Destiny because like I had it on PC and PS4, and I had all my PC friends stopped playing, but I had made some pretty good progress there. And when I went to play PS4, I didn't have as much progress, and I was just like,
I don't want
to play anymore because I don't want to do all that over again. So now, like, I'm going to come back too. Easy, easy peasy lemon squeezy. So I'm very excited, and hopefully this next expansion in the fall is good. And there's like, you know, because a lot of people were speculating maybe Destiny 3 this fall, but no.
I think they have a decent amount. Yeah, they have a decent amount riding on this expansion. And, and if you look back historically, the Taken King was super fantastic. That was I mean, how many expansions have we had?
Yeah, they've already had their big Taken King.
Okay.
And then this year will probably be a smaller update, but hopefully enough, because so here's the thing. At this point, Destiny 2 has so much stuff to do in it. That they're kind of in the place that they were back when Destiny 1 was near the end of its life, where there was just so many different things you could do, like with your buddies. And then Destiny 2 came along and removed more than like all of it, basically. And you had to, they started over from scratch, and there was like nothing to do anymore. So I don't know. I really I mean, I said this about Destiny 1, but I really hope that they learned from their Destiny 2 mistake. And they, I don't even want them to make a Destiny 3. I want them to find a way to keep Destiny 2 being renewed every year instead of removing all the content and starting over again. You know what I mean?
I see what you mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't know if that's even realistic because you got to release new games to get players back and new players and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. But WoW has been doing it forever. So who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got to say about
that wraps up the news. Mm-hmm. Mike, David.
Oh yeah. Hmm?
Are you guys ready for the tweets?
I am so ready.
I think you guys are ready. You look very ready.
Mike doesn't look ready, and that worries me because he's the one that has to struggle to read them.
All right. Welcome to Mike Struggles to Read the Tweets.
I had a bunch of dental work done today.
What?
So,
oh, really?
Wait, really?
The left side of my face is really sore, and everything still tastes like blood.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
So that's that a
sounds
good
like a horrifying trip to the dentist.
What is well, going
they're
on?
All pretty sorry. Horrifying for me.
Is this how they do dentists in California?
Well, you see what I do is I figure I'm paying this guy to clean my teeth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to brush them. Just wait until I go to the dentist and let this guy take care of it.
Oh, no, Mike.
So each time I go, it hurts so bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
but you think of all the time you're saving.
Yeah, exactly.
Teeth brushing. That's like 2 minutes every single day. That adds up.
Saving yourself time, but definitely not saving yourself pain.
Well, and potentially 4 minutes if I'm doing it in the morning and in the evening.
Mm. Or six if you're doing it in the middle of the day like some crazy people at our office.
No way. Wow.
I was walking in the restroom and like, man, it smells real bad to be brushing your teeth in here.
Yeah, I would not.
I would not. Anyway, I digress.
Brush my teeth, guys.
Ugh, gross.
I do.
I don't believe you, Mike.
I totally brush
just
them.
Just not well. So Jeremy wrote in and wanted to know, what's the story behind your gamer tags / handles? I especially want to know about DJ Tate.
I think that's
DJ Tate.
DJ Tate. Okay. He said mine is basically just J-er, like terror.
Yeah, Jerror.
Jerror. And 45 is my old high school basketball jersey number. So
There you go.
Is there any secret stories behind your guys' gamer tag?
Sure. I can start. Actually, Detate, not DJ. It's close. You're really close. It's Detate.
No, it's a DJ. Yeah.
But anyway.
Spinning on the ones and twos. It's DJ Tate.
DJ Tate.
$2 drinks all night long.
It's courtesy of Adam here. Adam and our friend Nathan, I believe, and probably Eric was in on it too at some point. And it came from the way I signed my name. I used to sign my name D Tate. And Adam came along and put an apostrophe after the D and put a little emphasis over the E, and it became Detate.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was my nickname for like half of high school. And then so that nickname I haven't used a whole lot anymore. But then my other my this is my Xbox gamer tag still is Tito, which is just T-T-O-E.
Tito.
And that came from one morning I was having a sleepover and Eric woke me up by just saying he was going Tate. And yeah, then he did it again. He went creepy. Tate. And I didn't wake up yet. So then he went Tito Tutate. And then the Tito.
He was really he was scatting, yeah. Skitting and scatting.
He was like conjugating. He was conjugating, yeah. Tate.
Conjugating the Tate.
And
there you go.
And so then Tito stuck for a while. Yeah, and long enough for
and
me.
I wasn't
to,
sure how to feel. I wasn't sure how to feel about Tito for a while there. But
you wanted to call me Tito on this podcast. I'm like, no, Adam, that was my high school name.
Yeah. Then I embraced yeah. it, and then it, you know, a couple decades later, still said yeah. it. But.
No, but I'm David. I'm David. Don't call me Tito, SBF EGS listeners.
Ignore his Scatman roots.
So anyway, those are my gamer tags.
What about Taco Douglas?
Ooh. So Taco Douglas is an interesting story. It really goes back to my Irish and Scottish roots, pulling, you know, the Douglas is a fair. I don't know. It's just a silly, stupid name.
I thought it had to do with your restaurant.
That yeah, I mean the explanation came far after name, like most of the things that I do. I found two words that sounded stupid together, and so I made that a name, and then I kept getting asked about it all the time, like we are now. And so like I've invented over the years like so many stories about where this name comes from, but
it's kind of like the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Wow.
Yeah, I had aspirations there to start a restaurant called Taco Douglas that absolutely did not serve tacos.
They served everything but tacos.
Yeah, just like people come in, like, I would like, oh, what are the tacos like? Like, I don't do.
We don't have any. Talking about. What do you mean?
We don't serve tacos.
I don't know
here.
What that is. I don't know what
we
you
have
want.
Pizza. We have burgers.
Yeah.
Flapjacks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the deep root story.
Yeah, Taco yeah. Douglas. So I usually name things after... after songs I really like. So,
oh yeah.
Like I have an email yeah. address that's named after a failure song.
Yeah.
Empty Friend. And then I have, and I usually try to spell it in a silly way so I can actually have it without a bunch of numbers on the
exactly.
end.
Mm-hmm.
But Barry White is spelled that way. B-U-R-Y, then W-H-I-T-E.
Whoa.
That's a song by the band Far, which is from a band from Sacramento. Yeah. So those guys, I really loved their first album. Yeah. Oh no. Second album. Yeah. Second album. And, so that was, I think the first song on that record was called Barry White, and it's spelled kind of silly like that. So yeah, I adopted it when I was looking for, I think, an AIM handle way back in the day. And so then I got that. And then ever since, I just like every time I need a new handle, I'm like, yeah, I'll just try that again. And it's usually not taken. So
yeah, well, it helps you changed it a little bit because you said it had an H after the
yes,
W.
I took the H mm-hmm. out. I took the H right out. Yeah. And usually that allows me to have it. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
So yeah.
Not too bad.
Good times. Yeah.
Somebody else wrote in, but my iPad switched Windows on me, so hold on.
Ruben wrote in.
Ruben did write in, and he said, what Patreon tier do I gotta be to request a full-length all-Spanish episode?
I don't know. I think we should invent a ridiculously high tier for that, and then we'll all have to learn Spanish.
No, I'm not going to learn Spanish. Someone will have to write it down for me, and I will just do my best.
We'd have to bring in interpreters, yes. And then we'll just say our things, and then they'll
that's great. You know what we could do is we could do it in Nintendo Direct style, where we start talking, you hear our normal language, and then we yeah. fade into the background a little bit, but you can still
like
hear
it.
Us, but then the Spanish is louder than us and saying what we're saying.
We just have Google Translate just rattling.
Oh, yeah, that sounds very listenable.
Oh, this is, we're on to something, guys. I think
so.
We figured it out.
Maybe, I think so.
Maybe the most important question of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony wrote in and said, have you ever worn, or do you currently wear, superhero underpants? Now, he wrote underwear, but underpants is like 20% funnier, so we're going with that.
I have to think about that.
Superhero yeah. underpants, any of you guys a fan?
I,
or
know,
have you been? Now, I'm going to assume, but we're not talking about, like, my elementary school years.
Yeah, no, now, I think
yeah,
he was
yeah,
asking.
No, this
I want to
well,
say.
Well, did he say now said, or ever?
Have you ever? Now,
have
course,
you ever?
Of course.
I don't remember.
Of course.
Maybe. I feel like
great,
I had Spider-Man
great,
ones
great,
at
long
some
ago.
Point.
Yeah.
But I don't.
You,
I don't remember. This is inspiring me though to invest in a good pair of like Spider-Man boxer briefs and maybe a pair of Batman ones. I don't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have actually when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have money for such frivolities.
Sure.
They were plain white whitey tidies.
You had to make your own Batman underwear.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the years and years later, once I became an adult,
yeah,
and you know, such things were behind me, or so I thought. My wife bought me a pair of Batman boxers, and I love them. I wear them all the time.
That's awesome.
They're fantastic. So yeah, I have to say yes, I do currently wear. I'm not wearing them at the moment, but no. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't even know what you're currently shirt on.
So I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know it would have been fitting, but oh well.
not currently, no. But I do have Batman socks, if that counts.
Oh.
They're formal evening wear. Batman socks.
I have pizza socks. Does that count for anything?
I mean, pizza's a real superhero.
Pizza always wins, though. Yeah, so it is a superhero.
No, I'm in agreement.
So kind of counts.
Joseph Grimm wrote and asked a question that only David could possibly know the answer to.
Yes.
Does anyone know what the Division II Year One pass is all about?
Well, hang on. Let me just Google that really quickly.
I think you mean to say all a boat.
Right.
All a boat.
That's,
yes.
You're right. So I'm Googling that real quick. Oh, here we go. Okay. Yes. Looks like
that wasn't nearly enough key presses to Google. This is a bit. Like, I know when I see
it. It looks like what you get when you buy
Google.
when you buy the Year One pass, most of the stuff that you get gets unlocked automatically for you for free a week later.
Oh.
It just gives you like 7-day early access to like new content. Okay. But then the other thing is it gives you you can access all three specializations earlier. Usually you can only unlock one
dangerous.
And then you have to wait to do the next one and then wait to do the next one. But when you buy this, you can unlock all three at the same time. And then you also get one additional daily, or I think maybe it's weekly. It's either daily or weekly. You get one additional like power leveling activity to do. So there you go.
It sounds absolutely riveting. I would recommend buying that.
There you go. It's not necessary, though. It's just like, I know a lot of people that don't have it and they have fun with the game. No problem.
And they live perfectly satisfied lives.
Exactly.
We have two
maybe
other...
take that extra money and back SPF VGS on Patreon.
It's a great idea.
We're not at the ad part yet, Adam. Come on.
You know what? Actually,
we're almost there.
Wait, what? We are.
Oh,
we've got two more Twitter questions, but I think they fit really nicely into the topic.
Oh.
So I'm just going to go ahead and hold
those.
Okay.
All
right. Bring them back up. We're going to put a pin in these.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, so take that Destiny Year Pass money and back us on patreon.com/SBFVGS. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can get early episode access, usually 1 to 3 days early ahead of the street date. Mm-hmm. You can get access to the Patreon exclusive minisodes, which, you know, I mean, best in the business,
mean,
I would say.
Why not?
And, but I'm a little biased.
But just a little bit.
They're fun. And of course, other more glorious tiers out there. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Patreon.com/SBFEGS. The number one way to support this podcast if you do like it. So thank you very much for the people who do support us on there.
Yeah.
And we love you very much.
And there is one additional way to support us, and that is to go over to twitch.tv/SBSVGS. Use that free Amazon Prime subscription you get every month.
Indeed.
Don't forget, if you already do it and you haven't done it this month, just pop on over and do it.
It helps us out
so much. And
yes,
it's
yes,
free
indeed.
To do, so
the other thing that you guys can do is just hand me some money if you see me at an event or just walking around. You don't even have to tell me your name. If you just shove wads of money at me, I'll take them.
You just take that hallelujah handshake.
Yeah, and then I will promise to reinvest it into the show.
There you
probably,
or in burritos, maybe.
I mean, I feel like the more burritoed up I am, the better the
show
is.
That's true.
I think it counts.
That's a very good point.
I like that burritoed up is a state that you can be.
Because
it's like a burrito meter.
My burrito meter definitely runs empty.
The burrito-ometer.
Yeah. I used to call it a barometer, but it turns out that's already on something a
thing. Else. Yeah. Barometer. There it is. There
you found it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
There was madness in any direction.
Topic time, meat and potatoes.
Topic
Mike.
Time. Yep.
It is your topic, good sir.
Thank
what
you.
Shall it be?
So E3 is over, guys.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
It's a very special time of the year.
Very special time.
One of the 50 game conferences that happens, that's big news.
Now there's only 49.
So E3's just ended. Tons of news out of E3.
Yeah,
I kind of wanted to circle back. You know, an episode or so ago, we did some E3 predictions.
Yes, we did.
I'm curious. Question number one: did any of your predictions come true? Because mine sure didn't.
This might have been
the first year I was wrong on everything.
So that, you know, a couple episodes back, we did our E3 predictions because we wanted them to actually come out before E3, mm-hmm. and our last episode coming out right smack dab in the middle of E3. So, so two episodes ago, two fortnights ago, mm-hmm. We predicted the following. So here we go.
Yep.
Mike and myself predicted that Sony would have actually some sort of state of play video release just before or during E3. I predicted that there would be a substantial reveal of Last of Us Part 2, and I was sorely disappointed.
Yeah, there was no state of play, was there?
No. They like shot out a couple of videos for like Final Fantasy VII and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh yeah, this is ours. But like no actual like state of play or mini conference or anything.
Yeah.
Bummer. Yeah. So swing and a miss on that one for the both of us.
Not great. Not a great start.
So David predicted that Nintendo would reveal footage of Metroid Prime 4 and of Animal Crossing for the Switch.
Right. And I was so nervous it wasn't actually going to happen. No Metroid Prime 4. I don't know what's going on with that game.
Yeah.
But we did get a very lengthy look at Animal Crossing first during the Nintendo Direct. And then we got like 20 more minutes of it during their like Treehouse stream that they did.
Yeah. Half correct on this one. I grant David one half of a point.
Nice.
So David is the current leader in this E3 competition.
Yeah.
Mike next predicted that more Netflix game series announcements would be incoming. So all the games that you like, they're all getting turned into Netflix, mediocre Netflix series, I believe is how you put it.
I think that's how I put it. I don't think this happened.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I watched as many,
I didn't hear of any.
As much news as I could of E3, but I didn't see any of these. But almost the reverse happened. At one of the shows, they talked about that actually Netflix was helping put on. They talked about Netflix turning some of their shows into games.
Oh, heavens.
What?
So like they're making like a Pokemon Go style game themed after Stranger Things.
So what do you catch?
I don't know.
You catch the Demigorgon.
Demigorgon.
I
feel like I deserve half a point because what I predicted was that great video games were going to get turned into
breaking the rules over here.
No, like think about this. Like let's break it down. Think about it, guys. What I predicted was that great video games were going to get turned into mediocre TV shows, and instead, what we're going to get is great TV shows are going to be turned into very mediocre games.
I don't think that qualifies, but I'll let you be the judge.
I say nay.
Right.
This is not a point. This is not a point. No way. So my next prediction was that more Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay would be shown at the Microsoft conference, and that we would get a release window of fall 2020. I believe that is a super whiff on both of those because we saw a trailer of Cyberpunk 2077, but no gameplay. And the release window is actually spring of 2020.
This is actually a miss. That's kind of a good thing, though, right? Like you thought fall, you're getting it sooner.
I'm happy.
Than that.
Well, and you know what? It actually makes a lot of sense because this will get a lot of people to buy that game twice.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Because people will buy it. They can't wait. They'll buy it right away for PS4, Xbox One, PC. Or at least the console people will buy it twice, because then it'll come out for PS5 and Xbox 2, and then they'll be like, well, I gotta buy it again. I love this game.
I'm definitely that guy.
Yeah,
that's gonna
be. But you know, also on the on a positive note, now we know Keanu Reeves is in the game.
Yeah, we do.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we'll chat about that in a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. So then David predicted that there would be a surprise announcement kind of at the end of the Nintendo Direct, that free SNES games would be now coming to Nintendo Online.
Yep.
David, how did you fare on this one?
Still no SNES games. Well, they did release
Swing and a miss.
They did release the Secret of Mana as like part of a Mana pack that you could buy all of them. But that, I don't think that counts. So,
No. David's still in the lead after two rounds.
With a half point.
Half a point,
we are
yeah.
very good at this. I feel like we've gotten worse at predictions over the years.
So, third round, Mike, you predicted that more Beyond Good and Evil 2 gameplay would be shown.
And it sure wasn't.
It wasn't. They came out on stage. And I was like, oh man, Mike was right about something. He got one, but then they never showed gameplay.
They sure didn't.
And never showed gameplay. And you predicted a release date of spring 2020.
I don't think they announced anything.
Believe they gave us that. Yeah,
they didn't do that.
Why did they even have a section like, "Hey, we're still working on this. See you later."
Like, I think just to give me the hope of earning a point.
Well, they did show a new cinematic trailer, I guess. But yeah,
they listened to the show and they were just like, "We got a teaser."
Yeah.
So I then predicted that Square Enix would finally reveal the long-awaited Avengers game, and I was correct.
Yeah, you got one.
Full marks on this one.
Yes. Oh man, yeah. Let's congratulate ourselves. That's great.
So I got 1 point.
You got 1 point. You're beating me now.
Yes, yes. And of course, David then predicted that Microsoft was going to announce a game at Nintendo's conference that would be a cross-platform Xbox One and Switch game.
Yeah, man, that would be so cool, but no, it didn't happen.
They did announce
Banjo-Kazooie coming to Smash, which is a Microsoft character showing up on a Nintendo platform.
You know what? It's kind of the spirit of what you were predicting, but not the actual... Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I have to go by the letter of the law here.
Yeah, that's fine.
My hands are tied.
Your hands
David.
Are tied. You can't possibly give yourself
possibly
a point.
Make an exception.
Yeah, you can't give yourself a point where there's no point warranted.
Oh, certainly not. Right. So, and then I added a bonus prediction that there would be a PlayStation Vita 2 reveal event and that all the other events would be canceled because it was so glorious.
Right.
And that didn't happen.
Oh, it didn't happen. I thought you were going to say what you wrote in our email, which is obviously, yes, very correct. I thought you were going to give yourself 2 points. That's what I was leading up to. And the last thing, of course, you can't give yourself any erroneous points. But then you didn't. Right.
No. That's okay. Well, I'm playing by the rules, David. I play by the rules.
Yeah, I don't think he needed the steal.
He really did.
1 point apparently was all it took to win the game this time around.
I got 1 point and one over the 1.5 point by David.
I was this close.
And 0 points for Mike. I'm so sorry, Mike.
It's okay. It's got to happen sometime.
It's got to happen. I win sometimes. Every like 5 years, I'll win.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do really quickly was do like these kind of hyper quick breakdowns of the different conferences.
Yeah.
And like what you guys think were like the biggest takeaways, at least for you from each of these conferences. So first up was EA.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Which, as far as I know, showed gameplay of the new Star Wars Fallen Order.
Yep.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Nothing else.
Well, yeah, that's all
nothing
I care
else
about.
Yeah. Happened.
Yeah, they showed that, and then it was just like people in suits on stage talking about spreadsheets for the rest of the hour.
Racing
for all I care, right? Like that was the only. I was just like, oh my gosh, Jedi Fallen Order looks so amazing, and later. Jason Schreier from Kotaku was tweeting that he's been told by some other folks that there's a lot more to the game. It's not necessarily the linear action Uncharted-y kind of game that they showed. Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot more to it. You can travel to different planets.
What?
You manage your crew and everything
what?
On a ship. There's,
yeah,
yeah,
he
there's
actually,
all kinds of stuff.
He said he was hearing he would compare it more to like a Metroidvania game.
What?
Yeah.
Where you're going to have to go back to areas once you've acquired new abilities and
Huh. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, cool. That's he was there. I guess they were kind of puzzled as to over there at Kotaku, like why they didn't talk about that stuff. But I think it's for good reason. I think it's because people have been waiting since 2012 when Star Wars 1313 got announced.
Yeah.
And then when that got canceled, then their new hope was the Visceral Games Star Wars game that Amy Hennig was going to make. People want like that kind of like super cinematic, super polished third person action Jedi game, yeah. Right? And this is so that's I understand why that's what they that's what they showed, right?
So. You know, this news kind of troubles me a little bit because what if that's their way of like padding out the playtime of the game, like making you go back to areas you've already visited. And it's just like you go in, there's one secret room that you couldn't get to before, and it has like a key that you needed. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, what if it's a really cool key?
I hope it's cool.
Could be the best key you've ever seen.
It better be the best darn key I've ever seen in my life, but I don't know. I'm just that news troubles me. I didn't hear that, and I'm a little bit nervous now.
Do you guys think that you'll be able to pilot a Titan?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Like a Titanfall Titan.
Oh.
Oh, no,
probably not.
My hope is that you can go to a shop and pay like an absorbent amount of $25,000 for a lightsaber.
Yeah. Just like Star Wars Land.
Exactly.
What a great tie-in that would
be. Oh, that'd be so good.
I apologize for anyone else who's into Madden and FIFA and Battlefield 5. It's not us. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, playing some FIFA, obviously.
If you guys love them, love that you love it, but I don't. And so I didn't watch any of that.
I'm happy that you enjoy yourself doing that.
But we don't.
So Microsoft
Conference.
I don't
look down on it at all.
Because we got to get through these. That was one game in that, and it took us way too long.
it was one of the best games that have.
But it was
shown.
One of the best ones. Yeah. I thought that might happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so Microsoft. They showed like 60 games.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
What floated your boat the mostest?
Minecraft Dungeons looks really fun.
It looks pretty
it's
cool,
like
right?
It's like Diablo Minecraft, and I'm all for it. That was cool. And then obviously... Cool. Cyberpunk 2077. Cyberpunk.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool trailer. You've got Keanu.
Yeah. Cool trailer.
It's coming out in April.
Keanu. You know, Keanu is, what was he? Not magnificent. Spectacular. What was the what was the thing?
He's breathtaking.
And then he told us that he told me that I'm breathtaking.
Yeah, he did tell you
he
that.
He told you that and you as well. So.
Yeah.
So, I think it was just me.
Oh.
He pointed at me.
I get that Keanu has a lot of goodwill right now. A, he's John Wick, which is hugely popular at the moment.
Yeah.
He's had, of course, a long and storied career with like The Matrix and before that, like Point Break and the early days of Bill and Ted. They're making a new Bill and Ted movie.
Yep.
There's a lot of Keanu love right now.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't mistake our love for Keanu because I love him too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's such a likable guy. Yeah. I hope we don't mistake that for him being a really good actor. Because I don't think that's true.
Well, that seems
mean. Have you seen the Matrix movie? It's really good.
I have. I've seen them. I don't think he's a great actor,
but I like him,
right?
Bram Stoker's Dracula is one of my favorite movies. It's got Keanu.
All because of
it's
Keanu.
Got Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, crazy.
I think he's better than you think that he is, Adam.
No, I like Keanu, and honestly, it sounded like he was doing a bit different than not just Keanu voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, because at first, before it pans up and you see his Keanu face, I was like, "Who's this?" Like, I didn't necessarily pick it out of like, "Oh, that's totally Keanu Reeves." Like, what's going on here?
Yeah,
you know, until I saw his face. But
before you go questioning the acting ability of Keanu Reeves, I would just like you to keep in mind that when you go see Toy Story 4. And you see the character Duke Kaboom. I just want you to keep in mind that is Keanu Reeves. It will blow your mind. Like, go ahead.
Can I diverge for one
second?
Sure. Is there any chance that Duke Kaboom is an awesome poop joke?
I don't know. In the movie, he's a Canadian stuntman. So that, I don't know if those things they go together or not, but.
Okay. We'll find out.
Number two stuntman in the business.
I think that'll be out for this episode, Eric.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, we talked about one game. Any other big news from Microsoft that you guys were just totally
Microsoft, wowed by? They showed off Project Scarlet, which looks super cool. My daughter's jazzed that it's named after her.
Well, it's going to change because like the Xbox One X was the Scorpio.
So. Yeah, and then Durango was before that. Yeah. Remember the Orbis?
No.
Do you remember
The PlayStation Orbis?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That was the PS4 code name, right?
And were people... I kind of do remember. Were people, like, imagining the console was going to be, like, a sphere?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You had the Morpheus was the PSVR.
Morpheus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, other than, you know, some of that stuff looked really cool. It looks like Microsoft really has their hardware game, in place.
Sure. Oh my gosh. People were totally coming up with like orb, like I just looked it up. I had to look it up. PS4 Orbis.
Yeah.
Like,
the fake concepts are like circles design.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so but yeah, I think Microsoft, ever since the 1X, right, they learned their lesson with the 1. They got outclassed in hardware manufacturing and design by PS4, and then so the Xbox One X is like a super solid machine, really well engineered, from what I know of it. And so I think that is continuing. I think they've really gotten their house in order with all the hardware design stuff. I think that the next console is going to be excellent.
Yep.
And on top of that, they picked up Double Fine.
Yeah, that's
as a first party studio now. Oh my gosh. Like, now I have to buy their next console. Even if I didn't want to, I have to.
Well, you can probably still play them on PC.
No, I have to buy.
It's true. Windows 10, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. But yeah, so, I mean, I think that's a huge get, for people who are fans of indie games and especially Double Fine.
Fans of Tim Schafer.
Their brand.
Like
Tim Schafer fans. Yeah, that is a huge, huge get. And then on top of that, yeah, they picked up several other first party studios, and they've started the what's that game studio they've started kind of right in Santa Monica. I can't remember the name of it.
I know you're talking about
Microsoft.
I know you're talking about. I can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's like the Initiative or something like that. But yeah, anyway, so it looks like they're going to come out swinging with the next console.
Yeah.
So far, I think some people were kind of disappointed by what they're making the first party studios that they purchased do. Like that. What was that? Was it Ninja Theory making like a battle royale game or something?
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, considering how soon that's come out after the Microsoft acquisition, I'm pretty sure that was their next game.
I think
anyway.
That they said that this was the game they wanted to make next, whether Microsoft acquired them or not.
Okay, fair enough.
And you nailed
Microsoft's like, you better say that.
but to be fair, like, it's, you know, I don't want to, you know, disparage a game that hasn't had a chance to actually come out and let me see what, you know, if I'm going to like
it. Yeah, it might be fantastic. Yeah. Who knows?
I definitely wasn't excited about that.
No.
By the way, you nailed it. It is, you know, the Santa Monica studio is the Initiative.
Yeah, good job.
Ooh, look at that.
Good job. You pulled it from the depths of your mind.
Yeah. The depths of my brains. So yeah, other than that though, Ori and the Blind Forest,
cool.
or Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Oh my gosh, that the trailer they showed for that,
really,
I played
good.
I loved Ori and the Blind Forest to death, and this game just looks so gorgeous, and it looks like a lot of fun, so I'm jazzed about Ori 2.
Speaking of gorgeous games, they showed a game, Spiritfarer, I think it was called.
I don't remember that
one. I
have
no idea what this is about, but it was like beautifully animated, like the whole thing.
Okay.
I have no idea what that game's about. I haven't Googled it, but I saw the trailer.
Part
at
the show where we Google things again.
I mean, Google
things
if you want
to.
That doesn't help people in an audio.
Oh, it's the one with the deer. There's a bunch of deer.
Spiritfarer.
There's like a boat, and they're building houses in the boat and stuff. I have no clue what this game's about, but the animation's gorgeous. The art style's super cool. I'm jazzed to see what this thing ends up being.
Yeah.
It says Spiritfarer, a cozy management game about dying.
Oh no.
Yeah, totally up my alley. I'm 100%
You love it when things are about dying.
I do.
I love it.
I like to cry.
I love it.
So Bethesda's conference.
There was a conference?
All right, what did they show?
They showed the new Doom game. That's as far as I'm concerned.
That's
about all they showed.
Doom Eternal looks pretty fantastic.
Oh, I think they had some cool stuff.
I mean, the new Wolfenstein looks pretty cool, but we already knew all about that. So
yeah, that wasn't.
But
big news.
Man, Deathloop looks.
I mean, it's just a trailer, but that's a cool trailer.
The game's cool.
I love the concept too. Yeah.
That might have been my favorite trailer from E3.
Okay.
Yeah, I read something about it where basically there's these two characters that are opposed, right? And you have the I believe the female character is trying to perpetuate this death loop on the, I think it's on an island, where it's this constant battle, and basically the male character is trying to end the death loop, and so it sounds really like a cool concept.
Yeah,
it's like a time loop thing going on.
And it's made by Arkane Studios, and if you guys have ever played their games, Dishonored 2, Prey, like, they make fantastic games. So I'm on board for whatever they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds, it looked really cool. I like the trailer. It had this grindhouse feel to it. It was pretty cool.
Ghostwire, what'd you guys think of that trailer?
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's the Tango Gameworks game, right?
Yeah, the Evil Within guys. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That game looks really interesting. They said it's not a horror game, but it looks a little spooky.
It looks a little spooky.
Yeah, I think they're lying to us.
Yeah, so they could be telling some dirty lies. I don't know, but it looked really fun. I mean, as far as like the concept, fun. Not that they showed any gameplay, but fun from an intriguing standpoint.
I will say, Ikumi Nakamura is definitely one of my favorite things about E3. She was the presenter who is also the director of the game, and she was just she was just a delight, like just happy and making poses,
she was delightful.
So whether or not I'm interested in that game, I'm infinitely more interested in it just because she was a delightful person. So there you go.
There you go.
Square Enix.
So they, Final Fantasy VII remake.
Right out of the gate, Final Fantasy VII remake. What were
Final Fantasy
impression?
VII remake. It looks fantastic. The gameplay looks fun too. I mean, I know we have some buddies who've played it.
Oh,
or Handsome Phantom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those gents, they quite enjoyed it. So, I mean, I'm definitely excited to play it. It's going to have a lot of nostalgia built into it just because of the imagery of Midgar. Now that is an interesting thing that this whole game will take place in that city.
And
so basically, it sounds like they're greatly expanding the story. If the whole first game is in that one tiny part of Final Fantasy VII,
that takes me back to a Twitter question.
Oh,
we got.
We're going back to my trails to read the tweets.
I almost forgot about.
Oh yeah,
it was very close. Casey wrote very in close. And said, "Given the news that no one knows how many episodes, not even Square Enix, apparently,
it's true.
But given the news that nobody knows how many episodes there will be to the Final Fantasy VII remake, how many episodes would you play?" How many would be too many?
I feel like more than one is too many. Right.
I just wanted to play the one game over.
Yeah, so I think this is not like an episodic game like a Telltale game where you finish an episode in like 3 hours.
I hope not.
This is an episode that's like
we're charging $60
40,
for it, so.
Yeah, well, probably like 40 plus hours, you know?
Yeah, Jason Schreier was tweeting about this, you know, saying he was asking, you know, how many episodes, they don't know, but hey, don't worry about it, because every episode's going to be a gigantic, full-blown game, so that can mean different things, but even if each episode is like 20 to 30 hours, like, man, I don't want to play the game that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen at the last episode.
I would say more than three is too many.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm bored. Because, like, if you make a trilogy out of it, I can kind of see that from the standpoint of the story. Like, you have Act 1, Act 2, Act 3 in the story. You could just split those out into games and then make mini acts within those for, you know, hopefully for some good storytelling that's expanded.
Yeah.
I think four, like, if they're like, okay, we're making episode 4, finally you get to... You get that golden chocobo, and it's like, all right, I think I'm out.
Yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
So, a little bit of mixed results from us on Final Fantasy VII remake, but it's coming out in March, so I guess we'll find out how good it is in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, what if it's just glorious, Mike? What if they do away with all the silly mini games that you didn't like in the original?
Oh gosh. I mean, it's not even that I don't like the mini games, it's just that there's so many. Yeah.
Well, what if they add
I forgot
more?
How many there was.
What if they add more mini games now that they've expanded the game?
And then I definitely don't want to play.
That's how they're padding out the extra dozens of hours. Mini-games. It's all mini games.
There's 10 hours of trying to revive someone with CPR. It's in a rhythm style mini game. It's awful.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right.
Was there anything else from Square Enix you guys were excited about?
Nope.
No, nope. That was it. All right.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Not not a Trials of Mana fan.
No.
No, not really.
Okay, cool.
No, sir.
Wait,
moving on.
Now, when was the Panzer Dragoon remake shown off?
I don't know. No one cares about that.
I think that was Nintendo, wasn't
that
it?
That was Nintendo's.
That might have been Nintendo. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. No spoilers.
We haven't gotten a Nintendo yet. Oh my.
Well, you already spoiled it. So. Ubisoft.
Oh my goodness. I forgot about them.
This is the last Ubisoft. One besides Nintendo that I've got.
Oh, they showed that new Zelda-looking Greek game.
Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, that's cool. That looks so cool. I'm totally on board for that game.
Yeah, I want to see more. I want to see too. More. And Watch Dogs Legion. What did you guys think?
Interesting idea. You could play the whole game as a grandma. That's kind of fun.
That's fun, right?
I'm gonna say I'm cautiously optimistic for that one.
Yeah, I actually didn't play Watch Dogs 2, but I heard it was fantastic.
I actually own Watch Dogs 2. They gave it to me for free for buying The Division 2.
But cool.
I haven't even installed it. So
I've never played a Watch Dogs game. It's nothing against the series. It's just always been on the backlog. I've never made it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the first one. It had problems. It wasn't perfect, but it was definitely, I would say definitely a solid, 3.5 out of 5 burritos.
Yeah, that multiplayer, kind of made it for me. Like
that multiplayer was fantastic.
If you played that game opening week and had people hacking into you and you hacking into them, it was like,
it was so tense.
It was some of the best stuff. And then fantastic. I think it kind of died.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you played through that game now, you would never get hacked even once. So
I think that's probably what I'm most excited about for Watch Dogs 3 is just having that online community blow up and get big for
hopefully,
a little bit.
If they have that stuff, I hope they do. So,
we'll see. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Promise we're almost done.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Get right into the end. Nintendo. The Nintendo Direct.
Mm.
They showed a lot of stuff.
Oh, man.
A lot of stuff.
They did.
We already talked about some of these. Breath of the Wild 2.
Mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild 2 trailer. That looks cool.
We saw the Animal Crossings trailer.
Looks really cool. Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening.
Coming out this September.
Freaking excited to play that game.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
I'm so excited. Now,
it looks really cool.
Remind me, did you play through that game on Super Nintendo?
I missed it.
You didn't. That's right. So this is new.
And it wasn't Super Nintendo. It was Game Boy. So this is like a whole...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking... I was thinking Link's Awakening.
Yeah, this is the one I never played. This one slipped through my fingers, and I'm so ready to play it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it was a good game. I'm excited to see how good it is when it comes. It's gonna be
gonna be very good. So how about you, Adam? Anything else?
So I thought Luigi's Mansion 3 looked really cool.
Good
with Gooigi. Come on, man.
2019 year of Gooigi
seems wrong.
Gooigi, come on,
Nintendo.
That's localization at its
2013
finest.
2013 was the year of Luigi. 2019, let's make it the year of Gooigi. Come on, Nintendo. Don't be a coward.
I think so. And also, Panzer Dragoon remake.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned this yet.
Yeah.
But man,
wasn't that a Sega?
That was a Sega Saturn game.
What the heck?
Yeah, that was like the one good game on Sega Saturn.
Yeah, I sure liked it back in the 90s. I don't know if I'm excited to play it ever again.
I don't know, like it was like a Star Fox game, but like with dragons.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Fun. Yeah,
it was a good time. So we haven't had a decent Star Fox game in a long time. Maybe this will be really good.
Star Fox.
Well, it's just a remake of the first one, I think. Right?
What?
Yeah,
a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a remake. So, I mean, it'll be as good as that game is. Yeah. So, and of course, The Switcher 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to buy. I made a little question on Twitter, I believe, of should I play it on the Switch when it comes out or should I just play it on one of the systems I own it on now? I think I've decided on trying to play it on PC.
Just get it on PC. It'll look amazing.
It's just so long.
I mean,
it's
that's
such
the
a commitment.
Thing.
I won't be able to play anything else for months.
Well, that's the advantage of the Switch version, right? It doesn't look as pretty.
But I still won't be able to play anything else for months.
You could play it in the Uber, Play it in the taxi cab. Play it on
but
the train.
I still will have to only play it for months, though. Even though I can play it elsewhere.
Fine. It's totally fine.
It doesn't take that long to get
you
through.
You have my blessing. David, you can do it.
Oh, thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Yeah. It was your blessing.
As someone who's beaten that game twice already, all the way through.
I don't know how. I don't know how you do it. I don't understand.
It's really good.
You work more hours than I do and somehow beat all the games that come out.
Well, that's true.
Do you get more than 4 hours of sleep a night, Mike?
It averages between 4 and 5.
You're killing yourself. You need sleep.
Well, probably, but I've played The Witcher. So
yeah, priorities, David. Priorities.
The little head bob he did was just so cocky.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Oh,
that's all the conferences, guys. To put a bow on all of this. Was there anything else at E3 that was just like, oh my gosh?
What about that Twitter question?
Oh my gosh, I gotta say
Tim Rogers' content for Kotaku was pretty great. Like, he's just the most bizarre hipster like game personality right now, and I just love his wacky stuff, and I just wanted to put that out there. So that's a supplemental E3 like observation.
Sure. Just go tweet at him saying I love your wacky stuff.
Love your wacky stuff.
He's replied to one of my tweets, and that was like a personal accomplishment to me.
You're basically famous, David. Now.
Madman20 wrote in and asked, which is by far the worst E3 conference that made you just sit there and wonder, why the heck did I waste my time watching?
You mean
this
of this year?
Well, he said, also, is it me, or was this E3 not as exciting / fulfilling like the previous ones? And I think to some degree, sure, you have a huge gap there with Sony not being there, but
it's
not the worst E3 I've seen.
We didn't talk about the Devolver Digital.
Oh, yeah, we totally skipped that.
Oh, no, we didn't.
I don't know anything they announced, though, so that's fine.
I think the main thing I'm excited about from them is what's his name? Pedro.
Oh yeah, you're very excited. My friend Pedro. How excited are you?
That game, it just got reviewed 8.5 on IGN.
That game looks really good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Ooh, as they say.
It's all about flipping around, blasting fools, you know?
Yep.
And ricocheting bullets off frying pans that you throw into the air. Come on, guys.
It looks all right. I will say their format, the way they do their E3 press conferences, I don't remember any of their announcements because all I can think about are the weird sketches in between them.
That's what it is, right? It's I like that they're doing something different.
Yeah, I love it.
It's very entertaining, but it's so out there that a lot of times I'm like, oh yeah, they talked about some games.
What were the games? I don't remember.
Yeah, my friend Pedro looks really good.
That was a big one.
I'm going to probably end up picking that up. Is it coming to Switch?
I'm sure it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure it is.
That's a perfect game for Switch.
Gosh, is there an E3 that I was just like, I don't even know why I bothered? Maybe that one would. Well, no, because even the bad ones have like.
There's at least one shining light, right?
Yeah, I was going to say like, well, remember that one where Nintendo tried to get us super into their Wii drumming? But man, that's pretty good video if you go back and watch it.
I think he's talking about a specific conference from this year, isn't he, in the question?
Maybe. I think he's talking about a specific conference in general.
In general. Okay, well, let's just say it's a show, then it was probably EA's. Which was kind of like, you front-loaded it with Star Wars, and you put Madden, FIFA, and Battlefield, and all these things I wasn't going to care about.
Yeah, EA.
You could have just released that cool, 10-minute gameplay trailer of Star Wars, and that would have been good for me. But that's me. And
actually, so here's the thing. That question's hard for me to answer because, like, the second a conference loses me, I just tune out. Like, I don't sit and just watch it because I'm going to see all the stuff I care about later anyway, even if I don't see it right away.
Yeah, if I start watching someone's conference and it's really boring, then I just turn it off because the trailers will be all up separately in about 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, and then I can just look through their YouTube channel and go, no. I'll check that one out. Cool.
Exactly.
So I would say EA.
Yeah.
Because it was only that Star Wars game and that's all I cared about.
I don't want to be mean to anyone who enjoyed the rest of that stuff. It's just... I just don't care about those other ones. That's just me. As far as getting back to putting a bow on this, because we're starting to run pretty long, longer than I thought we would for some reason.
Well, wait. The B part of his question, though. The B part of his question. You did?
I did.
Is it me, or was the C3 not as exciting or fulfilling as the previous one? I tend to agree because like this year didn't have like a oh my gosh look at that Spider-Man game or look Ghosts of Tsushima or a big Last of Us moment that could have made like oh my gosh E3 you know like, that would have been
yeah it's that would have right? been like, it, Microsoft you know? Does their conference and it's really good and then we all sit around for a couple of hours going oh my gosh what's Sony gonna do
yes. It's like it's the punch counter punch, dynamic of E3 that I missed this year for sure.
For sure. Yep.
Okay, back to let's get that bow on.
What's something we haven't talked about? Great takeaway that you're super excited about for me. It's Elden Ring.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is George R. R. Martin.
I think it stands for George Really Really Martin.
Really Really Martin. So Really Really Martin's working on this cool game with them. I don't know what it is, other than that they've said it's going to lean more into RPG mechanics. So it probably won't be like Sekiro, which is fine. But I'm excited nonetheless. From Software has been killing it lately. Their last several releases. I mean, everyone obviously, there's a huge following for the Dark Souls series, even if it's not my favorite series. Mm-hmm. Then Bloodborne, which is amazing. We know they're doing a second Bloodborne. It's going to be great. Sekiro's great. And then now we have this cool game with Really Really Martin that they're working with. I'm excited, Adam.
Oh, that's good.
I think George Really Really Martin developing a world that is like has that kind of lived in feel, you know, because that's when you read or watch Game of Thrones, like there's so much of that like world building that is built in all the different families and cultures and everything. So I think if you like a From Software game, like even if it's not really focusing on the tough as nails gameplay, like
sure,
even if that's just one element of this really cool RPG,
right?
Man, that sounds really awesome.
From Software, they do such great environmental storytelling, and just like watching that trailer, I never thought about it before, but they're such a good fit for each other.
Yeah,
like seeing someone like, I don't know what's going on in this trailer, I have no idea what this game's about, but like
someone's
hammering something and it's like cracking their whole body in half, and
sounds cool
some
to me.
Dude's wearing like, some guy's wearing a hand on his hand, bigger hand glove, and it looks nasty and weird, and I'm super into it.
Amazing.
What are you guys taking away from E3?
I'm taking away Nintendo just loves to treat Smash Brothers characters like gigantic reveals when
like yes,
one of them
do.
Was the Dragon
they
Quest
really
guy
do.
And I'm like, I don't who cares about this guy? I don't. So
yeah, I think it was a great show. I mean, just if you, I know it was like people, a lot of people came away kind of underwhelmed because they didn't have that big Sony fix, I think is probably part of it.
Yeah.
But if you look at what was shown,
a lot of cool
Jedi
games.
Fallen Order, Cyberpunk, Final Fantasy Remake, like there was
Animal Crossing,
that's a lot right there.
Link's Awakening.
Yeah. I mean, just those bit, yeah, like the new Breath of the Wild sequel. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there that I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think Cyberpunk won E3 again.
Probably.
But, well, you know.
Yeah, kind of. Last year they won because they showed off gameplay. And I think there was another behind closed doors.
They didn't
doors.
Show it
they
off
did
right
behind
away.
Behind closed doors, they showed off a lot of gameplay that we're going
to
see.
Yeah, so that is something to note. Yeah, that's something to note, that they're going to release that behind closed doors gameplay again, kind of like what they did last year.
So, but last year,
so we
last
haven't seen
year
it
we heard
though.
A lot of rumblings about how it was like game of the show. But we're not hearing that this year. So at least I haven't heard it.
They got a lot of awards.
Did they?
Or a lot of nominations.
Okay.
Yeah, they set up that whole wall. There's pictures on Twitter. You can look at it.
I'm Googling it right now.
It looks real good. Looks real, real good. Looks really, really Martin.
Really, really. You know what I mean?
Are we done?
I think so.
Oh, you know what? Honorable mention, because we didn't talk about it, and I do want to give some kind of credit over to Dying Light 2. That game looks super cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah, Techland does good work. If you haven't played the first Dying Light, it's a super cool game. Go check it out. I say super a lot now.
Super duper.
You guys super cool?
I'm a super best friend.
Wow.
Super best
that,
friend.
That whistle is, that whistle is something else in my monitor headphones. Holy smokes, you must stop.
I hope you throw some DSing on that in the processing.
Yeah, I'll fix it.
All right. End of the show plugs for all. If you like gaming and co-op gaming, you need
to
check out
me. Wow.
Yeah. You need to check out the cooperatives then, David.
Okay, I will.
A nerdy couple who hosts chill streams 3 times a week from 7 p.m. Central to 9:30 p.m. Of course, right now, Miss friend of the show, Miss Maya, of course.
Oh,
who submitted a news story? Who is now top newsman? Playing a bunch of good stuff over there. You got to go check it out. Twitch.tv/thecooperativesplay. Our pals over there.
Yep.
Good times. Of course, you can keep up with us at sbfvgs.com. That's where you can find links to our episodes, our social media, Twitch channel, and our merchandise, t-shirts, and all that good stuff.
Joseph Grimm was at watching our stream earlier, and he told us that he was watching an SBF VGS shirt while watching the stream, which was fantastic.
He got in the spirit. Yeah. And, of course, if you like what we do, you want to see us doing more of it, the best ways to support the show are, as we mentioned before, patreon.com/SBFVGS and twitch.tv/SBFVGS. You can give us your free Twitch Prime subscription there. That helps us out quite a bit. Of course, Patreon will give you a bunch of perks, good stuff, exclusive minisodes, and the like. So, you can also support by leaving a delightful iTunes review. We much appreciate those, as always. A very special thanks to Globetrotting Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome, handsome face. You can follow us on Twitter at SBFVGS Podcast. I'm on there. Barry White, BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. And of course, feel free to send me a PSN friend request if you get a chance. I'm Barry White on there as well. And that's all the time we have, guys. For Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 124, thank you for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more of the hot 2-week-old E3 impressions you crave and other talk on gaming. Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show.
Hey, bye,
everybody.
We'll see you guys.
Super Best Friends Video Games Sleepover.